Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and, through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part 7 in a 7-part Lenten series entitled From Ash, and today's specific message is entitled Risen from the Ash, based off of Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12. So let us dive into the Word this morning. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked,
Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive?
He isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day. Then they remembered that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Amen. He is risen. And as I say that, I hope you will respond, He is risen indeed. So let's do this again. He is risen. Over the course of the past 6 weeks, we have journeyed together from Ash Wednesday through the entire season of Lent. As you know, Lent is a 40-day period, not counting Sundays, of course, of reflection that starts on Ash Wednesday and ends with the resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. Now, during that time, Christians the world over reflect on their own sinfulness, on their own mortality, and their own inability to truly understand the mystery and glory of God in Jesus Christ. Every Sunday, throughout this past Lenten season, we took time to reflect on our part in all of this. We reflected on the 40-day period as a whole. We discussed how we are supposed to become like method actors, taking on the role of Christ. We looked at the danger of being overly confident in our ability to be good and righteous.
Danger, Will Robinson! Danger!
We realized how it is our turn to carry Jesus' mission forward. How we are to sally forth from our complacency and into active ministry, bringing the gospel out into our communities. Faith in Jesus has never ever been a private personal affair. And one of the biggest myths, one of the biggest lies we're told in our culture, especially the American culture, is that faith is personal and private and shouldn't be shared in the public square. Keep it away from the dinner tables. Keep it away from your families. Keep it away from everyone. Go into your closet by yourself and be religious, but don't share it with anybody else. Friends, faith in Jesus has never, ever been a private personal affair. If it were a private personal affair, Jesus would have never been arrested or crucified. No one would have cared what he thought in his closet by himself. and his resurrection was certainly not a secret, but an earth-shattering event. Finally, during this Lenten series, we entered into confession time and opened up to God about our sins and struggles, giving them up to God. Now, I want us to take this moment to pause to give some thought to Simon and his whole situation. Simon was chosen by Jesus to be Kephas, or Peter. Kephas is Aramaic for Peter, the rock upon which Jesus would build his church.
Can you smell what the rock is cooking?
But 2,000 years ago, Peter had spent the last 3 days of Holy Week seriously lamenting himself, seriously doubting his place in the church at all, let alone as leader of it. Now, he had promised Jesus that he would never, ever abandon him, that he would even die for him. But he failed Jesus and broke his promises. Worse yet, he denied knowing him 3 times at Jesus' greatest time of need, in Jesus' greatest hour of darkness. The last time Peter laid eyes on Jesus, the last time Jesus laid eyes on him, Peter betrayed his Lord. Everything seemed hopeless, tragically in vain. And Peter sat through the horror of Friday as well as through the cold, empty darkness of Saturday in complete and utter despair. Sisters and brothers, that should be us too. Lent is designed to bring us face to face with the parts of us we are ashamed of, the parts of us we are horrified by. It is meant to leave us through this, or it's meant to lead us through the suffering of Holy Week and into the cold, empty darkness of Saturday, leaving us in complete and utter despair. But then it happened. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James the Lesser, James the son of Alphaeus, and the other women who were with them came running into the room that Peter and the apostles were hiding in, afraid for their lives. The women boldly went to the tomb to anoint the body and witnessed this, and they came running to the cowardly disciples who were hiding in the room, afraid for their lives, and proclaimed to them the news, "He is risen. He is risen. Our Lord is risen. The tomb is empty." Peter's heart must have pounded within him. The others dismissed it as nonsense. They couldn't be bothered with it. They couldn't believe it. Nobody gets up and walks out of the tomb. You women must be crazy. You must be outside of your mind in grief. Go away. But Peter, in his despair, had a new hope sparked within him, maybe even a fear. Remember, the last time that Peter saw Jesus, he denied him. His heart must have been pounding within him. Could it be? Could the Lord really be risen? Or was this a sick joke and Jesus' body was merely taken by grave robbers? Peter soon found out the truth.
He is risen indeed. Friends, I am here to proclaim to you today, He is risen. If you didn't say He is risen indeed, I'm going to say it again. I am proclaiming to you today, He is risen. When Peter realized the truth of Christ's resurrection, it changed him. It transformed him from the shamed coward of Good Friday into the bold apostle of Christ, the rock, Cephas, upon which the Christian church was founded. He rose up from the ash of his sins, transformed into a new creation. Sisters and brothers, have you witnessed the resurrection yet? Have you met the risen Lord? If not, now is your chance, for He is risen. He is risen. Open your hearts to Him and allow Him to transform you as He did Peter. Jesus taught us that where two or three or more are gathered together, there He is in the midst of them. Where two or three or more are gathered together in His name, there He is in their midst. The risen Lord is here, right now. And if you believe in your heart and open yourself up to Jesus Christ, then you too will be risen up from the ash of your sins and into a new creation in Christ. But it is not just, for those of you who may not attend church, I want you to understand something. Church isn't about an obligation. It's not about going and just sitting in a pew and pointlessly lifting your hands and standing and sitting and standing and sitting and reading hymns and singing hymns and praying prayers and whatnot. That is a way we worship, but that is not the heart of worship. The heart of worship, the center of worship, is Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. And the heart of being in worship is being in community. I am so glad you listen to these messages. But if you don't go to church, my friends, I pray that you will attend a worship service, that you will get involved in a local congregation and be a part of the body of Christ. For that is where we are truly in the presence of Jesus Christ. And there, the risen Lord will be in your midst, not only for you to worship, but to be working through you in the community that you live in. And then you too will be risen up from the ash of your sins and into a new creation in Christ. We aren't meant to be locked in closets, hidden away from the world. We're meant to be in community with other believers, doing the work of Christ in our community. Sure, it's not perfect being in community. Sure, people let us down. Sure, people hurt us. Sure, it's risky business. But Christ didn't call us to play it safe, nor did Christ call us to play it alone. So come to Jesus, for He is calling you. He desires you. And He has a great purpose for you if you but submit yourselves to Him. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank You. We thank You for Your sacrifice. For dying, for really dying, for really laying in the cold tomb, and for rising again, so that in You we may have true life, eternal life. Lord, if we believe that, and if we believe in you, nothing will stand in our way to do your work and to bring glory to your name. And so, Lord, we ask that you boldly fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we may be transformed and we may go out into our community and bear witness to the resurrection, just as those women did on that first Sunday 2,000 years ago. Lord, my prayer for all people listening to this message is that they would be transformed by you, that they would find themselves in the midst of a Christian community, that they would find themselves partaking in being a part of the body of Christ and partaking in communion with others who are Christian, so that they may be the hands and feet of Christ in their community. That, Lord, is true worship. We thank you and we praise you, and we trust that you are working such transformation in the lives of others. In Jesus' name, amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning in and sticking with this throughout the entire seven-part Lenten series. This Lent always, I'm sure, feels kind of like a long time, because it's dealing with things that make us uncomfortable, things we don't like to necessarily reflect on, but it is vital that we do, friends, because not one of us is perfect, not one of us is untainted by sin, and every one of us needs to reflect on that so we can truly discover who we are in Jesus Christ. And we only discover that through knowing what Jesus Christ did for us. And such is a time, such is Lent, and that's what we do and how we spend Lent. And that leads up truly to Easter Sunday. Without Lent, we can never understand or experience the joy of Easter. And so, friends, again, thank you for tuning in. I invite you to look at the links in the episode notes. But as always, I want to remind you that you are richly blessed, so that you may be a blessing to others. Go in peace. He is risen.